And we are back with another episode of Permanent Record presented by Simple Math Matrix. It's your boy, Mr. aka Super Raw 357, best known as Prince Godbody, and I'm joined by
the God, King Hoopla.
And this week, as you can probably see from the big ass vinyl sitting on the table, we'll be covering the very classic,
coveted. Holy grail
of a rap album, with every positive word you could use, of a rap album,
legendary,
that is Paid in Full by Eric B and Rakim. And I guess before we start breaking down the album, you kind of want to go into the historical impact of the album.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah, we gotta oversee the impact of what this album was. All right, out of everything I looked up, I just didn't have this one. All right, the album released in July 7th of 1987. So you could say this album probably like 35 years old.
About 87.
Yeah.
So about 35 years. Yeah, about 35 years old.
So you can see how, and this album is still continuously held in every list of albums of all time, not just in hip hop but in music. You know what I'm saying? This album is coveted as one of the best albums of all time. It's going to be in a top 100 list, top 50 list. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If an honest music journalism is being represented. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
And like you said, when it's coveted in hip-hop and beyond, but just in hip-hop, this taught a lot of rappers how to rhyme.
Yeah.
And a lot of how to DJs, how to scratch and mix and fade and all that shit. This album was, I would say, in my opinion, historically one of the first albums to break mainstream that was undeniably rap and not trying to be anything but rap.
Yeah, exactly.
Because at this point, you do have Run DMC and LL Cool J
exactly.
and groups like that. Pretty much you have Def Jam that is breaking.
Big artists. That's really pushing rap. You know what I'm saying?
And but pushing it not just for rap, but pushing it into mainstream to get rap and notoriety. So that's not a down pit. That's
no. Yeah, exactly.
But with Paid in Full, this is from Priority Records, who wasn't necessarily the rap record label at that time. So for them to do something that big just meant that hip-hop really meant something to music at that point. Like you said, they were pushing Run DMC to pop and all
LL
that shit.
Cool J.
All that shit to pop radio and shit, MTV and shit. But you didn't have to do that. You didn't have to push Paid in Full and Eric B. And
if anything, this album kinda in my research and my reading of, like, you know what I'm saying, about the album and stuff like that, you can tell, like, they were trying to, Rakim and Eric B were trying to bring the actual culture of hip-hop and bring it to the forefront of the mainstream.
They were trying to bring, they were the first people to bring the streets to music.
Yeah.
But even beyond that, they might have done that, but they also really impacted hip-hop, even if not Eric B. But, well, no, he did.
He did.
Because, like I said, he taught people how to scratch.
Yeah.
But when you really break it down, you have to look at Rakim and see that his exercise of using a flow and not just rhyming rhymes on a track was beyond mind-blowing at that point, and honestly sets the pace for modern rap music as we know it.
Yep.
Without Rakim, there's no Big L or no Biggie,
Jay-Z. You know what I'm saying?
And I'm only naming New York artists. Yeah, I'm only naming New York artists because that's the genesis of hip-hop.
It's no Nas.
Exactly.
It's definitely
you
no
look
Nas.
At songs like My Melody, Move the Crowd, and fucking As the Rhyme Goes On.
Yeah, As the Rhyme Goes On.
These are songs that you could say everybody clap your hands to, but
he's still talking that shit.
Exactly.
He's still talking that shit.
And you can say that in 2022. You can use the words He's talking that shit in 2022, and it'd be perfectly accurate as to what Rakim was doing on those three tracks. And that's 30% of the album right there.
Exactly.
That's one of the things I found out when we were breaking down the album, is that every percentage of this album is coveted in a certain sense.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll say, like, as far as setting the bar, not even setting the bar, but... because that means it was already established. But establishing the concept of flowing on a track with those three tracks alone, and those are not even the popular ones from the album, that sets the precedent. What they were doing right there, it's very special.
Exactly. And it just goes on to show, like, how much time in how much time, not Eric B., I'm sorry, Rakim took within his craft.
Yeah.
At such a young age, because Rakim was... they were only like 19, 18 when they released this album. You know what I'm saying? And
they were children.
And the reason why it's Eric B and Rakim is because Eric B was the one who wanted to go into the rap business.
Yep.
Rakim was more focused on sports, but he still always had a love for music and rap. You know what I'm saying? Because it's where he grew up, and he was soaked in. He was born in a music family. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
He was kind of one of those naturally gifted you know what I'm saying, type of people.
Like, he knew how to play saxophone and shit like that.
And that's one of the things people would never get. Mm-hmm. It's like, in order to be able to come up with flow, you would have to be able to hit those pockets of music. And Aaron's sitting in the background right now.
He can attest to it.
Exactly. Yeah, let's say you're coming up with a new genre of music. Wouldn't you have to know something about music legitimately?
Music theory and shit like that. Like, just offhandedly.
Yeah. Like, what's your... Do you not have an opinion on that, or you chilling?
No, I'm agreeing with you. Yeah, you would have to have some base knowledge of, you know, what to do, melody, harmony. I mean, especially talking about doing other genres.
Yeah. Especially creating a genre, essentially. Yeah. Or creating what becomes the rubric for a genre. Like we said, there would be no Jay, no Big Daddy K. There's nobody if there's no Rakim.
No, that's a fact. I'm going to say it's like this. Without Rakim and Kane, there's no rapper today.
Yeah, no.
There's no top five of all time. There's no rap going into the 90s. There's no
they
rap
might
going
not
to
not make your top five of all time, but they're the reason your top five of all time exists.
Exactly.
Whether it's Jay, whether it's Nas, whether it's DMX, who else? Scarface. You know what I'm saying? No matter who it is, they're influenced by these guys. But even with this crazy flow and this crazy idea to spit this well on tracks, and however you kind of want to, you know, flip that narrative, Rakim could not have done any of this without Eric B. Eric B's supreme cutting on this album, is... using the word supreme is undermining it, because he gets 30% of the album just for cut tracks. You know what I'm saying? And it's nothing but him. That goes, that exemplifies where the culture was then.
Yeah, exactly. That is, 'cause that is the main foundation of hip hop.
Yeah.
Hip hop is,
as far as hip hop music,
in the culture, if we're gonna break down hip, we're gonna strip hip hop of all the fashion. I mean, no, we're gonna strip hip hop down to all the cameras. You know what I'm saying? The glamour and fashion.
And
we're going to break it down to the core of
hip
hop. It is graffiti, flashiness, streets, and breakdancing.
Yep.
And DJing.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Those are the five pillars of hip hop right there. You know what I'm saying? And MCing. MCing, and controlling the crowd. That is the hip hop in its purest form.
And with Eric B on the cut, Chinese arithmetic, and
His outro to Paid in Full.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Even that, yeah. So 3.5 tracks for real. Because I was just counting extended beat, Chinese arithmetic, and
but when you look at
Eric B on the cut.
But when you think that Paid in Full, one of the best songs in hip hop history, is only one verse, what else you got the rest of cover those?
It's the cut.
That minute and a half. That's Eric B getting busy.
And that goes to show that at one point, rap was an artistry that was a duet between two people.
Mm-hmm.
One of the last times we see that is Watch the Throne.
Yeah.
And before that, the time we see that is Mad Villainy.
Mad Villainy, yup. When you see a producer in rapping. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And I'm not, and the thing about it is because we could, I mean, and I think it's almost blasphemous for us to only say those two albums because then we have Freddie and Mad.
Yeah, yeah.
And we have Alchemist and what he's done in the past 10 years.
Yeah, we have a lot of shit.
You know what I'm saying? But we have a lot of things like that. But so when we say those types of albums, we're saying like the ones that move hip hop forward. You know what I'm saying? Even though Mad Villainy isn't a coveted album in the mainstream, it's still an album that even your favorite rapper might have to throw in. You know what I'm saying?
It's going to throw out there.
Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? For real,
Drake, Sights of Doom is like, and I'm not the huge Drake fan, but I know
if your favorite rapper, Doom is your favorite rapper's favorite rapper. And that's always been Madlib's your favorite producer. Yep. Like, you know what I'm saying? And that's the reason why Mad Villainy is coveted for one of those types of albums.
But this is not about
Mad. It's just about Paid in Full. And we're only saying.
There would be no Mad Villainy without Paid in Full.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Point intended.
There were a lot of amazing DJ rap combos in the late 80s, early 80s even.
Shit, that's all hip-hop was. That's all hip-hop
was. But they didn't break like Eric B. and Rakim for a reason.
Exactly. And that's what I'm saying? And it's also... I'm sorry, I got to go back to where Rakim was... Oh, this is what I meant to say. Rakim also... Aunt was Ruth Brown, famous jazz singer.
Oh wow!
Yeah, exactly. I'm talking about Rakim comes from a music family, and that's one of the things he cited in his book as being a big foundation on why he rhymes how he does.
Really?
Because he listened to a lot of jazz growing up. So then he's just like, all right, can I make words sound like jazz?
Yeah, he rhymes. You know what I'm saying?
And that's how
you can tell that.
That's how he progressed the form. You know what I'm saying? That's how he progressed the art.
And you can really tell that he has that jazz influence because he has created Rakim. Probably himself, without a doubt, has created more rap standards than anybody else in history. Mm-hmm. And you're shaking your head. And I'm not trying to school you or play you. You don't know what I'm talking about when I'm talking about a standard. And jazz standard, there's like sounds and Aaron, help me out. There's sounds and patterns you play that are easily recognizable that you can flip, but people know that, okay, that's from this. It goes back in time, but like kind of like the Kill Bill whistle.
Yeah.
Rakim has created four rap standards. I ain't no joke. Mm-hmm. I used to let the mic smoke. That's one rap standard. And that's another one is I've been alone. It's been a long time since I left you. Without right?
Yeah, exactly.
Right, you know what I'm saying?
Like these are like the way, almost precedence.
Thinking of a master plan.
Yeah.
I got
like, you know what I'm saying? It's something that some people heard and were like, they started doing like, all right, I got to copy this to make sure it hits.
But it was those same exact words, though, because all those three examples I mentioned have been done a million times before in hip hop. And there's still a fourth in the fucking I came in the door. I said it before. Like, that's 40% of the album that has become rap standard.
Yep.
And they wrote this as kids.
Yep.
This is rap standard. This is the basis of rap music. Paid in Full is the basis of rap music, just based off the fact that 40% of them songs have a vocal rap standard. And that's not to go for any of the other 30% of the songs that are just exclusively cuts that also contain what are now, I guess, would be rap, jazz, or whatever genre they're sampled scratch from. Standard, but still, that's mind-blowing.
Yeah,
that's something I don't think people really conceptualize.
And for
one album to have four standards,
and for an album to only be 10 tracks,
that's right,
10 tracks,
that's why the percentages are so easy.
10 tracks, yep, and that's why. And it's so concise, and it's, I don't know, the album's only 53 minutes, too. And the thing about it is, everything that is encompassed in this album is a little bit of knowledge and a little bit of partying.
And a lot of bit of street.
And a lot of street. You know what I'm saying? It's all combined. And that's what...
Paid in Full is
that's
the,
what they were able to do.
One of the biggest... Well, my bad. Go ahead.
That's what they were able to do. They were able to combine all that together. Like, you know what I'm saying? As I read... I have to keep citing the book.
Go ahead. Of course. You should.
Rakim was like, he had to incorporate the knowledge of the 5% into his rhymes. You know what I'm saying? And there's a reason why Rakim is one of the first rappers that doesn't curse. He's not one of the first, but he's one of the biggest rappers that doesn't.
Have to.
He doesn't, because he always says his mom. He shows his mom the album first.
Yeah,
his mom not trying to go for none of that.
Still, that's crazy.
And that's why he doesn't curse, and that's why Rakim is covered as one of the best because he shows what being an MC truly is, what being an artist truly is, and what Eric B shows is how to be a DJ, how you should be a party DJ if you're going to break that next ground.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? He's showing the you can say Eric B's not the best DJ of all time, but you can't say he's not one of the most influential.
Exactly.
You
know what I'm saying? Most impactful.
Most impactful.
There every word, but yeah, exactly. Every you know possible
what I'm
word.
He's the reason why we have DJ Jazzy Jeff. Exactly. You know what I'm saying? Why we can say Jazzy Jeff. Yep. You know what I'm saying? He's the reason why we got Alchemist and shit.
And
like
even
this.
After this, they did it until the 90s.
Yeah, they did.
But for this to be a debut album, as young as they were, mm-hmm. and I will keep going back to this fact to set the standard for rap music for. This came out in 87. We said, what, 35
years ago? 35
years ago. And it's still the standard?
Uh-huh.
You have to make something as good as Beta Fool to be a real rapper.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Kendrick Lamar got Kid Capri on the album for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
DJ Drama is fucking coveted. That name is coveted for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
DJ Khaled coveted for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
They would not be shit. I'm not saying that they're not talented people.
You know,
but their place in hip hop and how we covered that place, that DJ place in hip hop, mm-hmm. would not be shit without Eric.
You know what's crazy? Now that I think about it, this album was considered the best album of rap for such a long time, up until one other artist that came out in the 90s.
Jigga?
No, not Jigga. Because Hov didn't drop a. It was Nas.
Daddy.
Nas.
Big when Daddy came.
Illmatic. No, because that was his competition.
Yeah,
that was his competition.
Yeah. Fair enough.
That was his competition.
Fair enough.
Time.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? That was his comparison.
Yeah.
Nas was only able to break that mold with Illmatic because he was also young.
Young, yeah.
And he didn't just have one producer
on
it.
And that's a big part of why Prodigy is still. I mean, Prodigy is an ill spitter.
Oh,
and
no,
heavy,
we don't, yeah.
But they fit that same mold of producer,
mm-hmm.
rapper combo that was young. Because mm-hmm. they were, what, 17, 18 when
they
started?
Yeah, no. Oh, they were. I think they were a little younger. I think like 16.
Yeah, they were young guys when they started.
When Mobb Deep came out, yeah.
But.
That just shows what this impact does. People had to stop using one producer to outbeat this album.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
To outbeat that debut album.
Yeah. So we've given this all its props.
Yeah.
Let's give our favorite
tracks. Favorite tracks? All right, boom. All right, I'll give you top. It's 10 out. You want a 5 or 3?
You can pick 3.
3. All right. I Ain't No Joke, My Melody, and Paid in Full.
The Rhyme Goes On. I Know You Got Soul, and Eric B for Prez.
Eric B for President?
Yeah.
I can agree with that. I mean, I can't knock either. If you said anything.
Fair enough. Yeah. Your least favorite track from
me. It's The Cuts, man. It's Eric B is on The Cut.
And I love The Cuts,
Chinese
man.
Arithmetic, yeah. I might be because I read the book, and it's because I, you know what I'm saying, I might have only heard Rakim's side of stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying, of course, but.
My least favorite track is The Dead Space Between the Tracks.
The dead space in between. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. I don't know what you mean, like going track to track. But you know what's crazy? The track melds so well. I bet if we cut this shit on vinyl right now, if we find,
this is an OP.
Yeah, this is OP. But you got two, because it's a record in here and it's a record on that
The one on there is the OP. Yeah,
all right. Either way.
The one. This is the OP cover.
Cover. Yeah.
But I got the reprint in there.
Oh, all right. I mean, I ain't tripping. I mean, shit, you got both of them. Shit. Mm-hmm. The reprint's going to be worth a lot of money in 30 more years.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
I'm about to switch them out, but yeah. That was the last record I listened to before this, so I could get, you know, in the feeling.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Get my dad's skin type shit.
All my life.
But you want to exit us out? I mean, you got anything else to say?
I was going to say, do you want to talk about, like, the impact that you know it had on your dad? Like, you know what I'm saying?
Oh,
it's
man.
Because if we can.
Yeah, no. Nah,
that's a perspective from back then.
My dad was born in 73, so this comes out when he's 14. And I was talking to Aaron today, and we were talking about how, like, not letting your 14-year-old out is something he wouldn't do. My dad was from Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And he was one of, like, this is an OP.
Yeah.
This is an OP.
This is his dad.
This is your
father's, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So
when you could try to spin this at parties, when you really tried, you thought you were the man. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? That's why there's two of them. One of these bitches is scratched up. Well, one of these is not newer print. It's just newer than that one. Probably about a year, probably newer. But you know what I'm saying? Like, this was one of those albums. Like, my dad listened to this bitch, tried to scratch this bitch, tried to scratch every. Mm. My dad got the fucking Star Wars fucking vinyls, the
just
soundtracks.
Just to scratch,
to try to mix shit up. You've seen the collections, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? The shit we haven't even posted yet.
Yeah, exactly.
And it just goes to show that, like, my dad was 14 when this came out, and my dad was one of those that first generation of people mm-hmm. to fall in love with rap music. And he fell in love with rap music not by dancing. He couldn't fucking rap, but he could fucking DJ.
He could scratch.
He could scratch the shit out some fucking records.
One of the five pillars.
Eric B. I still, like, to this day, you know that double, like, by there, over there by Oakland, where the fucking Starbucks is now?
Yeah.
And I remember fucking going back, because we lived off, we lived on Post. So if we were coming to restaurants, I remember coming past LA to go to fucking Shoney's, listening to fucking Payton Fool mm-hmm. or fucking Eric B for prayer. You know exactly. what I'm saying? Like, yep. I remember, like, so I know this was integral to him. You know what I'm
saying? Yeah.
Because he was so connected in the culture, in the fact of the DJ aspect. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
There's nothing more you can say after that. Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? That just shows you what. And that's real. You know what I'm saying? That's real. Yeah. That's real human testimony right there to show you what this impact of full album was. Because you had to be at least like, I don't know, the time you're talking about had to be like five, six, seven. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? That's like 2000.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
90, real memory,
99,
yeah.
98. You know what I'm saying? Real y'all memory. Ride around to go to Shoney's and get some food and he bumping Eric B for president. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Still, Johnny's arithmetic. You know, arithmetic. You know what I'm saying? And that just shows how great this album is and how much it carries in weight. You know what I'm saying? So with that being said, Paid in Full, if you're young, you have not listened to this album, you need to listen to this album. You know what I'm saying? And for our old heads that have listened to this album, please comment a story or two if you have a great story or memory to this please album. Do. You know what I'm saying? Because I've talked to a lot of OGs I got in my life, and I can tell you, the one of my boss at my job, he loves this fucking album.
Yeah.
They were from, both of them, both my OGs, one is like 16 years older than them, so it's like a brother, older brother type of dynamic almost a little bit. So the older one, all he talk about is when he used to have his little car, his car and shit like that, and has to have a system and shit, and he used to pull up to Hyde Park back in the '80s in Richmond like that, cause back then in Richmond and shit like that, niggas used to literally just pull up to parks and parking lots and just, that was it. Like that was the vibe. You know what I'm saying? They had to go to a club, they would be pumping. People that had the hardest system would be rocking, and Eric B and Rakim Paid in Full was definitely one of those shits. And then my boss, who was a younger one, he was like, he just grew up, and that was like one of the first albums he ever listened to, and like when he was in middle school and shit like that. So those are definitely some of the soundtracks to people's lives, and this is why that album is coveted for it to be such a legendary album. So with that being said, 10 out of 10.
Yes,
it's
sir.
Not really. Yes, and sir. My least favorite
it's
track
on the
table is
only for a reason.
My least favorite track is only because Rakim's not spinning on the track. You know what I'm saying? So that's about it.
Outro
is, thank you for joining us for another episode of Permanent Record presented by Simple Math. And I am the guy, King Hoopla. I am signing off. So, and I am joined by,
it's your boy, Mr. AK Super Rock 357, best known as Prince Godbody. Please make sure to subscribe on YouTube. Ring that bell below. Bling. Hit the subscribe button. Follow us on all social media. That would be Simple Math Matrix on everything but Twitter, which is Simple Math MTRX. And from there, I'm saying out.
Out. Peace. Peace. Gods and Earth. We'll be right back.